තස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස සාදු සාදු. The 14th January 1992 yesterday we explain you if you do not rightly understand the bodily and mental phenomena and its true nature or as it really is you are not able to destroy ignorance, which is the cause of craving for existence. Only when you have realized mentality and corporeality as the process of suffering, then you are able to destroy the ignorance. That means ignorance is replaced by the right understanding or realization or insight. In this case, right understanding, realization, and insight are in the same sense. So, when you have attained the insight, that penetrates into material process and mental process and their true nature. You are able to remove the ignorance, avidya, which is the origin or the primary cause of suffering. When the avidya, the primary cause, has been destroyed, you won't take both mental and physical phenomena to be good or to be enjoyable or pleasurable, then you won't have any craving or attachment to another existence or to be reborn. Then you won't be reborn. The attachment, the craving for existence, is the immediate cause of suffering, or the immediate cause of bodily and mental phenomena, which is known as the truth of suffering, dukkha satya. So this dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, is to be rightly understood, to be completely realized as it really occurs. So the Buddha said it's a prajñā. Prajñā means the truth that must be rightly understood or thoroughly realized, and it's the true nature. When bodily and mental processes have been realized, thoroughly realized, then ignorance has been removed. When the ignorance has been removed, there won't arise any attachment or craving, tanha, which is known as the truth of the cause of suffering, samudaya satya. As long as we are not able to remove, we are not able to eradicate this tanha, attachment, craving, samudaya satya, we are sure to suffer. We are sure to be reborn again in another existence. Only when we have exterminated this tanha, attachment, craving, we will be able to free from all kinds of suffering. We will be able to get rid of rebirths, the cycle of existence. So this is samudaya satya, tanha, attachment, craving, is to be removed or to be abandoned. So the Buddha said samudaya satya as pahadabha. Pahadabha means the truth that must be removed or abandoned. Then here the two truths are related as a cause and effect. Tanha, attachment, the craving, samudaya satya is the cause. Suffering, the truth of suffering, dukkha satya, mental and physical phenomena, are effect. The truth of suffering is the effect. Tanha causes suffering to arise. Attachment or craving causes suffering to arise. Suffering is caused by tanha, attachment, craving, samudaya satya. As long as we have samudaya satya in us, we would have the truth of suffering, dukkha satya. So dukkha satya is the result of samudaya satya, tanha, attachment. So when we are able to destroy the cause, tanha, attachment, craving, we won't have any kind of suffering at all. Know the truth of suffering at all. So to get rid of suffering, what we need is to abandon or to destroy or to eradicate the attachment, craving, tanha, samudaya satya. When there's no tanha, samudaya satya, there's no suffering at all. Then the suffering ceases to exist. Then we have attained the cessation of suffering. The cessation of suffering is Nirodha Satya. The cessation of suffering is Nirodha Satya. Nirodha means cessation, extension, and disappearance, passing away. Satya means the truth. The truth of the cessation of suffering is a Nirodha Satya. It can be attained by having destroyed Tanha, Samudaya Satya, the craving and attachment. So Nirodha Satya is to be attained or to be experienced. So the Buddha said Nirodha Satya as Sacchikatava. Sacchikatava. That means that the truth that must be realized, or that must be attained, and that must be experienced, the cessation of the suffering. Nirodha Satya. Idam kho bhikkhave dukkha nirodho ariya satya. Sacchi katabhanti me bhikkhave pauve ananautu setu dhammesu chakkhum udapadi panya udapadi jnana udapadi alaka udapadi vaijja udapadi alaka udapadi. So nirodha satya, the cessation of a suffering, must be attained, must be experienced. It can be experienced when the attachment, craving, tanha samudaya satya has been destroyed. Then, what is the cessation of a suffering? Nirodha Satya is the cessation of a suffering, a Brahma Loka or Deva Loka or hell or heaven. What's that? When you are reborn, the suffering, reborn in Brahma world, any world of devas or deity, could you extinguish your suffering? Could you destroy your suffering? Difficult. Yes. As long as you have craving, tanha, attachment, you are not able to destroy your suffering, or you are not able to remove your suffering, or you are not able to attain the cessation of a suffering. Wherever you are reborn, in human world or hell or heaven or in the realm of a Brahma or Deva, so the cessation of a suffering means Nibbana, when all suffering ceases to exist. You are liberated from all kinds of suffering. So it's also called liberation or deliverance, emancipation from all kinds of suffering. This Nibbana, Nirodha Satya, is Nibbana, the cessation of suffering. When you would like to do away with all kinds of suffering, what you should do? You should this trying is the cause. The cause of suffering, samurya sajya, tanha, and attachment. Then, could you destroy this tanha or attachment? What is the answer? Could you destroy this tanha or attachment, the cause of suffering? Yes, you could. When? Now or later? Now or later? Later. How many years later? As long as you are not able to thoroughly realize bodily and mental phenomena and their true nature. As long as you are not able to realize the three characteristics of materiality and mentality. What are they? Impermanence, suffering, and impersonal nature of materiality, mentality must be thoroughly realized when you want to destroy the tanha attachment, which is the cause of suffering. Yes. When you want to do away with this tanha or attachment, samurya sajya, the cause of suffering, you have to rightly understand bodily and mental phenomena and their true nature. Because this tanha, attachment, craving arises dependent on ignorance of bodily and mental phenomena and their true nature. If that ignorance of bodily and mental phenomena has been replaced by right understanding, then you are able to destroy tanha samudaya sajya. Then could you rightly understand this materiality and mentality in their true nature? You could. Is there any way to rightly understand this bodily mental phenomena? Is there any way or means? What's there? The Eightfold Path. The Noble Eightfold Path. Is it the way leading to the cessation of suffering through abandonment of attachment, tanha, craving? Yes, when you develop the Noble Eightfold Path, when you have a fully developed the Noble Eightfold Path in you, you are sure to destroy the tanha attachment, samurya sajya, the cause of suffering. By developing the Noble Eightfold Path, How can you destroy this tanha? We must know. Do you know how can you destroy this tanha attachment by means of another, the Noble Eightfold Path? The Noble Eightfold Path, there's the main factor which is called right samadhi, right understanding. So when you develop loving Noble Eightfold Path, when the right concentration is deep enough, there arises a right understanding. It means the insight that rises together with the concentration becomes penetrating and rightly understand body-mind process as they actually are. Then the attachment, tanha, craving, tamusamuryadisa, satya arises because of ignorance of mental and physical phenomena. Now, the right view, samadhi, or the insight knowledge, has realized mental and physical phenomena by means of Noble Eightfold Path developed. So the ignorance has been destroyed. In other words, the ignorance has been replaced by right understanding. So ignorance has gone. When there's no ignorance, there won't be any attachment or craving. Then when there is no attachment, craving or samudaya satya, then there won't arise suffering, the truth of suffering, dukkha satya. So the Noble Eightfold Path leads you to rightly understanding body-mind process, nama and rupa, and their true nature, and destroys the attachment and tanha, and then to the cessation of the suffering. So the Noble Eightfold Path is the way which leads you to the cessation of suffering, Nibbana, Nirodha, Satya. Then the Buddha said that the Noble Eightfold Path, as Bhavi Dabba in Pali, that means Bhavitava means the truth that must be fully developed. Bhavitava, the truth that must be fully developed. When the Noble Eightfold Path is fully developed, then there arises a right understanding of mental and physical phenomena, which destroys tanha, samudaya, satya, and enable the meditator to attain the cessation of the suffering, nibbana. then I would like you to repeat after me so that because I want to teach you the essence of Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths and the Noble Eightfold Path. Do you want to learn? Do you want to memorize it? Should. Huh? So, please repeat after me. Dukkha Sajjaya Samudaya Sajjaya Nirodha Sajjaya Magga Sajjaya. These are the noble, the Four Noble Truths. Dukkha Sajjaya Samudaya Sajjaya Nirodha Sajjaya Magga Sajjaya. Please repeat. Once more. Again. What is Dukkha Sajjaya? The truth of suffering. Sajjaya is the truth. Dukkha is the suffering. Dukkha Sajjaya means the truth of suffering. By Dukkha Sajjaya, the Buddha refers to Nama and Rupa. What's the Nama? All mental process, all mental phenomena. What's the Rupa? All material phenomena. Then, all these material and mental phenomena are dukkha, suffering. You know that. Huh? We know a bit. If we know it as a suffering very clearly, we won't be attached to it. Now we are attached to it to some extent, because our knowledge of a suffering is not very clear yet. Then, Samudaya Sajjaya, the truth of the cause of suffering. Sajjaya is the truth, Samudaya is the cause. Samudaya Sajjaya means it, the truth of the cause of suffering. By Samudaya Sajjaya, the Buddha refers to Tanha, attachment, desire, craving. Tanha, attachment, desire, craving is the cause of suffering. Do you agree with Buddha? Not with me. Do you agree with Buddha? Tanha, attachment is the cause of suffering. Yes. Whatever suffering is caused by attachment. So, Samudaya Sajjaya, the cause of suffering is Tanha and Pali, attachment, desire, craving, and so on. Then Nirodha Sajjaya. Nirodha means the cessation, or the extension, and Sakyamuni truth, the truth of the cessation of suffering, the truth of the cessation of suffering. But the full term for this is the truth of the cessation of suffering is Dukkha Nirodha Dukkha Nirodha, not Nirodha alone. Dukkha Nirodha. Dukkha is a suffering, Nirodha is a cessation. Dukkha Nirodha is a cessation of a suffering. So Nirodha Satya is the cessation of suffering. Where can you find it here? Under the earth or above the sky? Where can you find the cessation of suffering? Then the Buddha said, you can find it within you, not outside you. How can you find within you? When Samudaya Sajja Tanha attachment is destroyed, won't you have suffering in you or outside you? Suffering in you or outside you. In the Buddha's time, one of the rich men who is very wealthy, realized the life, the existence as the burning, very extremely burning fire. So he wanted to get rid of it. So he was married. He has a baby. He had a baby. Then he has got permission from his wife to be ordained. But his wife very reluctantly gave him the permission. And he went to the Buddha and requested to ordain him a bhikkhu. The Buddha, the omniscient Buddha, he told Sangha to ordain him. He has been ordained a bhikkhu. Then he went to a forest and practiced vipassana meditation, mindfulness meditation, very strenuously. Without sleeping at night. Then about in a couple of days, then he had attained the arhantship, the fourth stage of enlightenment, which has destroyed all kinds of mental defilements, such as desire, craving, hatred, ignorance, anger, aversion, and so on. So he became a Rahan. When a person wants to be a monk, he has got permission from his wife, but actually the Buddha didn't
say he must ask for permission from his parents. If the parent allows him, he can become a monk. But nowadays, the parent is not important. So, anyone who wants to become does not need to get the permission from parents. What he needs is to get permission from his wife. Even for meditations, he should get permission. Yesterday I got a message of one of our Burmese young men. They wanted to meditate in this retreat, but he hasn't got permission from his wife, so now he can't come. Pity. Yes. Now you are very lucky. You have got permission, God. You have got permission. So very lucky. Then that man became arahant. Now I am telling this story regarding that you have the cessation of suffering within you, not outside you. So when the monk had become an arahat, having destroyed all kinds of mental defilement, then came to Jetavana monastery where the Buddha was residing at the time. He was accommodated in a kuti there at the edge of the compound of the monastery. Then he sat under a tree near his kuti, meditating. His wife, having got the news about his coming, came to him about 3 times, requested to disrobe. The monk was not affected. He was not moved. Then his wife, ex-wife, requested repeatedly. Yes, ex-wife. Or former wife. Because now he is a monk. Monks are not married. So he has no wife now. That's ex-wife or former wife. Requesting repeatedly to disrobe, the monk did not open his eyes. He concentrates his mind on whatever arises in his body and mind as it really is. The wife cried because he doesn't respond to her request. Crying over and over. But the monk was not moved. He didn't open his eye. Then the wife had some thought, and she had got a good plan. Then he withdrew, she withdrew and went home back. What did she do? Yes, she came soon to the monk with her baby. Very good plan. The baby is a focal point. So when she reached the monk, she placed the baby and the ankle of before the monks, then said, Venerosa, this is your baby. he is longing for his father. But the monk was not moved, not affected. He didn't open his eyes. Then the wife is a very witty, as the other woman. So what she did, she twisted the baby's hand then the baby crying out very loud. The man was not moved, not affected, didn't open his eye. He feel happy and peaceful, serene. The woman went away and standing behind a tree and peeped. Then the baby was crying. But the mind feels peaceful, not affected. Then when it took a very long time, the woman was disappointed. This technique also doesn't work. So she took the baby and went home back. Then after a long meditation, the monks rise from the seat and practice walking meditation. He feels peaceful, happy. Nothing affects him. Nothing could move him. Why? Because he said no suffering. Eh? Did he have suffering? Not at all. Why? Because of the tanha attachment, samudaya saccha, the cause of suffering in him has been totally destroyed by through enlightenment. Huh? Then, where is the cessation of suffering, within or outside? Inside. So, this cessation of suffering can be experienced in you through development of the Noble Eightfold Path. I would like you to repeat this Noble Eightfold Path, because it's very much important to develop in you so that you can destroy the suffering at all. Please say Samma Deity, Samma Sankappa, Samma Deity, Samma Sankappa, Samma Deity, Samma Sankappa. Please repeat.Samma Vajja. Yes, Samma Deity means right understanding or right view. Samma Sankappa means right thought. Then please repeat Samma Vajja, Samma Kammanta.Samma Ajiva, Samma Vajja, Samma Kammanta, Samma Ajiva, Samma Vajja, Samma Kammanta, Samma Ajiva. Please repeat.Samma Vajja, Samma Kammanta, Samma Ajiva. Please repeat. Samma Vajja, right speech. Samma Vajja, right speech. Samma Kammanta, right deed or right action.Samma Ajiva, right livelihood. Samma Ajiva, right livelihood or right living. Then, please review, how many have you learned? Five. The first two,is in the group of wisdom. Now this is second three. Second group is in the group of morality. Then Samma Vayama, Samma Siddhi, Samma Samadhi.Samma Vayama, Samma Siddhi, Samma Samadhi. Samma Vayama, Samma Siddhi, Samma Samadhi. Please repeat.Samma Vayama is right effort or right energy. Effort is better. Samma Vayama, right effort or right energy. Samma Siddhi, right mindfulness. Samma is right. Siddhi is mindfulness. Samma Siddhi, right mindfulness. Samma Samadhi, right concentration. These three are in the group of concentration, Samadhi. Sila, Samadhi, Panya. Sila is a moral conduct. Samadhi is concentration. Panya is wisdom or enlightenment. You remember, Could you repeat all these eight factors? I think you could. Then let's try. Samadhi. Vajya. Samavajya. Samakamanda. Samajiva. Samavayama. Samasati. Samasamadhi. Please repeat. Samasati, Samasamadhi. Once more. Yes, Samadhi means right understanding, right? Rightly understanding of mental and physical phenomena in their true nature. That means a rightly understanding of the three characteristics of a materiality and mentality. That's Samadhi. Right understanding. Samasangapa, right thought. It's not thinking about something else. It's not thinking. Sama sangappa, right thought, means a mental state that directs the mind to the object of meditation. That's a sama sangappa. The mental state that directs or leads the mind to the object of meditation repeatedly. This mental state leads the mind repeatedly or directs the mind repeatedly to the object of meditation. If there is no samasangapa, this mental state, you can't concentrate your mind well on the object of meditation because the mind tends to go out very often. Then one of the mental states that rises together with mindfulness leads the mind, directs the mind to the object of meditation. So the mind has to go to the object and observe it. So the mind has to obtain the help from the right thought, Dhamma Sankappa. Whenever the mind goes out, whenever the mind wanders, whenever the mind tends to go out, then the mental state, that mental state leads or directs the mind to the object of meditation. That is Samma Sankappa, right thought. It's not thinking about. You can consider, yes, you can think about this thought. Thought means thinking, means going to the object repeatedly. The mind is going to object repeatedly. Then it means thinking about. So that's why the mental state which leads or directs the mind to the object of meditation is Samasankappa, right thought. Samavaja means the right speech. Abstention from unrighteous speech or evil speech. Samakamanda means the right deed. Abstention from unrighteous deeds or action or evil deed or action. Samajiva means abstention from unrighteous livelihood or bad livelihood, evil livelihood. These three can be attained through abstention or refraining when you refrain from evil speech, you have samavaja, right speech. When you refrain from evil deed or action, you got samakamanda. When you refrain from bad or evil livelihood, then you got samajiva. So by refraining bad speech, bad deed, bad livelihood, you can be endowed with these three mental factors of the Noble Path. Then, how can we refrain from bad speech, bad deed, and bad livelihood? Very easily, observing the precepts. When you observe 5 precepts or 8 precepts, then you can refrain from bad deed, bad speech, bad deed, and bad livelihood. Then you have these 3 factors and you. So, from the time you have fully observed your precepts, you have been endowed with these 3 mental factors of sila or morality group. Then, yes, this is something to talk about these 3, but I will leave it. Then here, what I want to explain you is the practical way of development of a mindfulness Noble Eightfold Path. When you observe, when you practice mindfulness and meditation, you are observing the movement of the foot while you are walking, lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing, and so on. Suppose your concentration is very good, because you have a continuity of mindfulness for a certain period of time through your strenuous effort. Then, when the mind concentrated on each movement of the foot, each movement, lifting movement, pushing movement, dropping movement, touching and pressing, then gradually, because of a deep concentration, there arises an insight. That means you are realizing each movement of the lifting, each movement of pushing, each movement of dropping, without awareness of the form of the foot. You lost the sense of the foot. What you are realizing is just upward movements, pushing movement, dropping movement, and touching sensation and pressing. So you do not take these movements to be your leg or your foot or yourself, your person, because you have lost the sense of the form of the foot or yourselves too. Then, when you realize a series of small movements of lifting, could you say it's the right understanding? When you realize series of very small broken movements, separate movements of the process, Could you say it's the right understanding? Yes, because you see it as it is. You see the movement as just movements, natural process of movements. So this is right understanding. When you rightly understand this movement, you don't take it to be your foot or to be your person. What's that? It's just a natural process of movements. Then here, when you observe the movement of the foot, you have to make a mental effort to note or to observe the movement. That mental effort is right. Why? Because it leads you to the realization of a natural process of a movement. So there's a right effort. Because of the right effort, you observe it. You are mindful of the movement as it is. That mindfulness is right because it leads you to realization of a natural process. So that's a right mindfulness, samasati. Because of the powerful samasati, right mindfulness, the mind becomes concentrated to a large extent. That concentration is right because it leads you to the realization of a natural process. Then that concentration, the right concentration, samasmari. But sometimes the mind tends to go out, or sometimes it go out very short and say for a moment, or a second or two. Then one of the mental states which arises together with mindfulness directs the mind, the noted mind, to the object of meditation, that is the movement. That mental state that directs the mind to the object of meditation is a samma sankappa, right thought. Then in this way, the mind more and more concentrated, and then there arises an insight that realizes the movement as a series of movements of a natural process. Then this is a right understanding. Then you got five samadhi. The first was samma vayama, right effort. The second samasadhi, right mindfulness. Third samasamadhi, right concentration. Then fourth samma sankappa, right thought. Then right understanding, samadhi. Samma sankappa, samma vajja, samma kamanta, samma ajiva. These three has been already with you since you have been observing precepts. In this way, your mindfulness meditation consists noble eightfold path. It leads you to the cessation of suffering. So may this Oitpopa leads you to the cessation of suffering, Nibbana. Time's up.